Blog Talk Radio. Welcome. It's been a while. I've been very, very sick. But before I get into that, let me introduce myself. I never usually do that, so I still must be sick, right? Sorry. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to episode, actually 40. Can you believe that? Give or take a few shows because I've been out sick or just living another life. Episode 40 of Looking for My Give a Fuck, hosted by yours truly, Shirley E. Shepherd. Good morning, everyone. And if it's afternoon, whenever you're here, just good, good. Wow. 40 episodes, give or take three or four. That's huge. That's really, really huge. And I'm really going to take a minute and be very proud of myself. Because that's what I should do. How is everyone doing? Let me just give you guys an update. An update is I have been sick. I think the week before last I did my show and I was talking about Mary and my other friends that were telling me all these wonderful things to do to get better. The castor oil. Anyway, she's online, so hopefully. Wait. Hold on. I want Mary to be my co-host today. Good morning, Mary. Before I get you into my show, I want you to be my co-host. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Can you hear me?
How are you?
Yep, I'm good. Just hang in there. Yeah, just hang in there. I might need you because I'm still recovering from bronchitis. So just hang in there. Plus, I got some really wonderful topics I want to talk about. And if for some reason I go into a coughing attack, I need like a standby, so I hope you can do that. And plus, I want to plug in your show because I understand you're going to talk about basketball, but I do believe your team lost, so you suck. But we'll talk about that later. Right? I don't even know basketball. I'm just starting shit. Actually, I saw it on the news this morning. I'm like, I think she doesn't like the whatever team. But anyway, before we get started, welcome everyone. Again, I was saying this is episode 40, and I'm extremely excited. Give or take, like I said, three or four shows because I was either out or whatever the case may be. However, having just 40 episodes, even just under the belt, even 30, 35, doesn't matter. That's huge. I want to start out with saying that this whole show is about looking for my give a fuck. And you guys are like, what is that about? So on and so forth. I want to revert you back to some of my previous shows because I don't think I have the breath with to talk about how it came about. But I do want to talk about what I've learned in these 40 episodes, okay, give or take again. Probably people are like, she ain't got no 40, she got 37 or whatever. Yeah, yeah, okay, you're right. But anyway, what I have learned is this, looking for my give a fuck is not looking for anything, in my opinion. What I have learned, it's an awareness. It's definitely awareness. Again, this whole show came into the awareness of conversation with my mom and my brother, the awareness of the fact that my brother is more spiritual than I'll ever be, and I never knew that. The fact that he handed to me a new earth awakening of your life's purpose by Eckhart Tolle, which is the basis of this show, which again, I'm not getting any monies or anything like that. It's just a great, great book. And it talks about how to deal with your triggers. What are triggers? What the hell pisses you off? You instantaneously. And where does that come from? Is it something that derives from an incident that took place, there goes my words, they're gone. Is something that just took place because you were really pissed off or something, or does it seem to happen all the time? Was it embedded in family, in routine, in culture? Then to look at that and decide what you want to do with it, and you don't have to do shit. But I do find that people these days don't really want to do shit into looking into themselves. And that's kind of sad. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. So anyway, the whole purpose of, again, looking for my give a fuck was looking for something to give a fuck about. But it's not that. It's an awareness of fuck. That was pretty good, Mary, right? It was awareness of fuck, right? That made me laugh.
Exactly. Because sometimes life be like, hold up, wait a minute. Put your wig back on, bitch. Put it back on.
You'd be like, what happened was?
Get that,
oh my God.
Get that lace front.
Sorry. See, there we go. That's what I'm telling you. She might have to take
over
a couple
times. I need to put my wig back on this morning.
Okay, there we go. You guys, there is going to be a show coming up in later on this year, and it's, what is it called? Life Be Like, Wait a Minute, where we're going to talk about funny things that we see, I'm doing side note, that we see on YouTube and TikTok and shit like Instagram, because there's some funny things out there, but Life Be Like, also some real positive things, and we want to share that. We want to kind of just put some mixture in there, but the basis of Life Be Like, Wait a Minute, is based on, I think you guys all seen the video where the woman's wig falls off when she's doing an interview and she's talking about Jesus, and it's just some fucking funny shit. And so we're going to talk about that, but Mary got that down better than I do. But we're going to revert back. Let's go back to whatever I was talking about. Looking for my give a fuck. What is that? And how can I share what I'm learning? It's kind of taking aback and honestly going, wow, why? Wait a minute. Wow. Wait. I like that. What happened there? Wait. Again, it's not looking for anything. It's being in the presence when things occur. I like that. You know, there's also a couple of things I saw. Mary, I'm glad you're my co-host today. I noticed that when we get to a place that we feel happy and that we feel we're accomplishing things, that we tend to go out of our way to thank people that helped us. For instance, Mary, I will say to you, I saw a post on Facebook where you're just honoring Jay King, and who gave you an opportunity to have your own show on the air, which is 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Mary had a little cancer. Blog Talk Radio. If for some reason you don't know how to get to the link, just go to Blog Talk Radio, click live, and at 11 o'clock you will see a link to her show. That's pretty good, huh? But I find, and even I have done this, I reach out to everyone else thanking them for what the fuck I'm doing. Would I like to see more of this? Thank you, Mom. Thank you, whoever. But I'm going to add a little something to that. And thank you, Shirley, for pulling it through. It's just so funny how I tend to be more motivated when others are behind me instead of myself. See, this is what I'm talking about when looking for my give a fuck. Are we really looking for our give a fuck? The fuck that is within us for us to do things. No, we're looking for an exterior person or something happening to motivate what is already percolating in our souls. So again, I just think that when we honor others, that there should always be that last thing and self. Because words are nothing more unless we actually move them on them. I remember, Mary, when you started doing your show and you were thinking about it and we pushed through and look where you are now. That's what it's about. So it's about thank you, Jay, thank you so-and-so, and then thanking self. Because we're the ones that have to get up and do any and all these moves that people encourage us to do. Because we go to them for the encouragement, but we are the movement. Because the encouragement was in ourselves, but we don't believe ourselves. We believe in the exterior, blah, blah, blah. The bottom line is always consider yourself these days. Mary, would you agree with that?
I do agree,
Mary?
With that wholeheartedly. Yeah. I do
okay.
agree with that.
Okay. Okay, good. Make sure you go back and edit that goddamn post and say, and I want to thank myself for my greatness. Okay. yeah, because I'm going to add that. Anyway, as I was saying earlier, I've been sick. I've been dealing with a lot of teledocs. I don't know if you guys have that. That's when you kind of get on the phone and you talk to a doctor via video or just on the phone. And the first time around, it was just kind of like, maybe you just got this or so on and so forth. Here's some medicine. The second time I spoke to a doctor, it was like, you know, I'm going to give you a Z-Pack and some more cough medicine. But if you keep having, you know, whatever, you're going to have to go get x-rays at the doctor because we need to see your lungs. Well, needless to say, I tried to get another Z-Pack and they're like, you have to go get an x-ray. I'm like, fuck. So I'll go get that x-ray. I don't even have the energy to go get the x-ray, but we'll see what that's about. But there is, I don't think it has anything to do with COVID, a COVID infection or anything like that, but I think our body, just that natural cold we get every year, and Mary, you can add to this in a minute, that we get, you know, we get sick, and it's a way of our body to flush and to renew. I think that's happening, but maybe we're flushing some of those COVID. What did we have to take the shots and all that shit? I don't know. I've just never been so sick in my life. So if for some reason you're finding you're coughing and you just feel crappy, get the first set of medication, and then after that, you might have to go get an x-ray because you might be walking around with pneumonia or really bad bronchitis. They think it's bronchitis on my end, but I'll find out tomorrow if I get to the urgent care. Didn't get there this weekend. Mary, what do you think about that? This new set of cold, this new set of flu that's kicking in. What do you think the cause is, and what are your suggestions on how we should get well?
You know what, honestly, I think that the cause is like the fact that for so long we were all masked up, we were all trying to stay away from people, and our immune systems were down because we're not getting the normal germs and stuff like that that we need to keep mm-hmm. our immune systems up and fighting. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is repercussion of that. And I think that in order to keep ourselves well and keep our immune systems going in the event that we do catch something, we need to, A, continue to exercise. Even if you just walk, I started walking like a mile and a half, 2 miles every day, and I do that every mm-hmm. day faithfully. Stretching, keeping our bodies moving, and then, you know, being out in the sun, getting enough vitamin D, and then enough vitamin C, and just be healthy, eat healthily, so that when mm-hmm. something like this does attack you, your body mm-hmm. is ready to fight back.
And my body has been so, so tired. It's so funny. As most of you know, I live with my mom, and she just comes in right before my show and says, you know, you've been coughing, you've been sick. Do you think I need to take you to the ER? I'm like, Mom, it's been 3 days. She said, well, yeah, I figured by today you'd get better. So it will knock you out. And maybe because I'm older or whatever the case may be, I think what Mary has stated, it's very important. I do get out. I do walk my dog. I mean, now I'm walking the dog because the dog, like, drags me if I don't feel well. But even fight it. Now, I want to ask you one more thing, then I'm going to hop back over to my topics. Is this the same advice you would give someone that is also, now think about it, you do have cancer, and she does have her show, so I'm not telling her business. Mary had a little cancer. Do you think what you just shared with me, that a person that has been exposed to cancer or overcome cancer, whatever the case may be, may actually have a hard time staying well, keeping their immune system up under the circumstances of this new thing that's around or whatever's happening? Do you have any opinion on that?
So I think that, I mean, I can only really speak for me, right? So when I was going mm-hmm. through the whole cancer thing, I did everything in my power to get my body ready because I was really unhealthy. And I did everything in my power to get me ready to be able to withstand surgery, radiation, chemo, anything that was to come. And by the grace of God, I was able to do that. And I think that, you know, we shouldn't wait for ourselves to get sick to start doing something. We should really start taking care of our bodies now. We're aging. Things start to break down. It's not good.
Okay. So, again, I'm sure she'll talk about Mary will talk more about some of those things on her show after she explains. Her show is at 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, after she explains why her team lost. I'm just being a hater. Right? Your team did lose, right? Or did it win? Did your team win or lose? Mary, your basketball team.
Okay, Shirley. Listen. Yes, they lost. So the Lakers are 2-1. So Golden State, we played 3. Golden State won 1, and the Lakers won 2. But that's okay because we can lose. You know, we can afford to lose a game or two. We just can't afford to lose anymore, and we won't.
And the reason I'm giving her a hard time, you guys, again, if you go to Mary Hopkins, her Facebook page, I don't know if they can see it or not, but she's talking mad shit about her teams, and that got me going, what? So I'm just giving her a hard time, and I don't even watch, it is basketball, right? I was going to call it football. There you go. Okay, let's bring it back in. I thank you for the insight regarding health, regarding, you know, we were talking about we've been masked, and now our bodies are getting back to doing their natural cycle of cleansing, which is sickness. Please be very careful. I'm really upset, Mary, because I can't drink. Okay, anyway, I can't drink with this cold. It's pissing me off. Okay, you guys, going back, regrouping, whatever it's called, I want to talk a little bit about, real quick, just a one-liner. there are people still shooting people because they're pissed off. And I watched yesterday on the news because I could not get up, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and everything else. And everyone's saying the same thing about what they should do. And then sometimes I watch Channel 14 in my city, and it has, like, gun smoke and shit. I'm like this. I'm getting to the point where it's just like gun smoke. You know, just like if we all walked around with a gun. You know, this is terrible. But we know the chances of getting killed are just as great as the chances of us killing someone else. So we'd probably cool out a little bit. Now, what I'm saying is this is getting ridiculous. And I was even talking to my brother as much as I could on Friday. Yes, my brother Jay, who's a genius. And it's not Jay King. It's not my brother, by the way, Mary. It's a mess. It's a boiling mess. We have a psychological aspect of this, a mental aspect. We have suicide by cops, suicide by TV, suicide by social media, suicide by this, suicide by that. And then everyone's like, what are we going to do? God damn you people, you government people, you AI collectors, you politicians, you creators of this society. You knew this shit was coming 30 years ago and you didn't stop it. And let me stop right there for one second. You're like, Shirley, who the hell do you think you are saying those things? I have no idea where I'm getting that information from. It's just coming from the soul. But there is something I do need to say about that, so hold that right there. Two of the greatest artists that we know, Madonna, everyone's like, oh, she's not great. Yes, she is. She's very great at showing us her in-between them. And Michael Jackson, he is just great. But two of the things that I read about those two people that people probably didn't read, their history, is that they would always go back a decade or so to bring forth the decade again. You know what I mean? They were historians and entertainers. That's why they were so great. They knew the timing. Coming back to these young kids killing themselves, so on and so forth, these guns, historians knew this was coming. There's no fixing this. Don't you fucking take my gun away when we got Jack the jackass walking around mad and might shoot me. Don't take my option away. And then the other thing is, but I want to go outside. Well, I don't know if you get to go outside. And you can. Good luck. Right? Well, that's been in certain communities for a long time. That's not my discussion today. But you knew this was coming. And if you really stop to think about it, it goes hand in hand with the new movement of the robotic protections, of the AI, of this crap. You're like, how did you get there? What are you talking about? If I knew 30 years ago that our kids would be where they are today, I would want to fix it. Now there's so much shit wrong, it's like picking out the seafood in gumbo. Now you're like, why are you saying that, Shirley? I'm allergic to every piece of seafood, fish, your mama, don't matter. But I loves me some gumbo when it's chicken gumbo, right? So what happens, I had a best friend, her mom was from New Orleans, and she would make the gumbo stew part, however it works, before the fish and stuff gets in there, and then she would take a scoop of it and put it aside so that I would have that with my chicken. Ooh, that'd be so good because the gumbo juice with the bread, right? That's life. But what has happened is that the past 50 years or so, even longer than that, there's been a lot of people just throwing shit in the basin of good juice life. And now they're going to sit around after vacation or whatever. Okay, well, we need to now take the sausage, the crabs, the whatever else goes in that. Because remember, I don't know. I'm pure. Okay, I didn't get caught up in the gumbo. Okay, but society is in the gumbo. And they're going to have these, well, we should do this, and they should do this, and this is horrible. Shut the fuck up. If you're in politics, if you're over 50, if your parents are in politics, motherfuckers, you guys had conversations about this, and you needed the world to go like this. And this is where we are. So I'm a little upset with that. There's no fixing mental illness. Oh, now they're saying, oh, you know, we should have listened to people. Black folks with mental ill since the time they got their asses kicked and then say, okay, now start your own world. Women relationships holding down the fort in general. But let's bring it to my most recent experience of being mentally fucked off and not even knowing it until you get older. I'm working in this environment and profession merging with corporate America so that the AI aspects of the processing is utilized. And whatever the humans are going to do, they're going to do. There always will be a human factor in the legal profession. You just have to. I mean, at some point, looking at a robot, asking, what should I do? I mean, at some point, there has to still be a legal foundation, at least now, I mean, a physical body. So the first thing I experienced is when I went into this office, they're like asking me these words like bandwidth. Now, you guys, I'm going to go back that I was before the internet. Not the internet per se, but yeah, I was DOS 501. I think, I don't even know if it's still 501, but I was in DOS, okay. And so when bandwidth, the first time you ever heard bandwidth, that was how much space you had on your computer. I think they even still use that for your iPhone or something. But in the corporate world, it means how much time do you have. So someone said to me, how much bandwidth do you have? I'm like, okay, so I'm like, I'm not quite understanding. I use that to say now, if you're going into any of these new environments, you know, learn the lingo, whatever, learn the wording, learn the environment. It's so fucking weird. I just love bandwidth. And then now I'm using it naturally, which is really embarrassing when I talk outside of corporate world. But going on, what I also realized, businesses, corporations, large companies, could literally ruin people. Middle management, management middle, I don't even know. But see, when I go into an environment, my whole thing is to look at someone and say, oh my God, you're great. Oh my God, look at that. I mean, it's just instantaneous. And why is that? Let's go to my history of employment and greatness and why I think I can do everything even though I'm tired as hell 90% of the time. When I first started in this legal profession, I worked for a young man by the name of Thomas Cohen. He was a Jewish man from Chicago. He was down by law, but he was Jewish. Give or take, I don't care how you take that. This is not about the Jewism. It's just about ism. Mr. Cohen, when I went to him after my paralegal studies, I said, he told me, here's a file, work the file. I came back about 15 minutes later, and I gave him back the file. I could still remember that. He goes, what's the problem? I said, I don't know how to do litigation. He said, give me a year and a day and come back, and let's have that conversation. A year and day comes back. I look at him. He looks at me. We never said another word. I have never been. I can never, ever pay him back. I am so fucking good at what I did because that man said, I will give you your knowledge if you're willing to give me a year and a day. He taught me a couple things, dedication, hard work, and take chances. And then from there, I went and I worked for an entertainment company, Fishback Pearl Sudignani. They represent Virgin Records, another Jewish person. I started out my first day with, you know, the transcription. I used to do transcription. Wait. Is that when you type it? Yeah, that's, fuck it. I used to type. So, they, you know, you put the things on your head.
Yeah, it's
the first. That's it. There you go. The first day I went, they were upside down, and the shit was in my face. The wires and the little white girls, because they didn't let too many black people work for those kind of firms, they're laughing. So at 5:05, the little white girl comes to me and says, you know, Shirley, that shit was upside down. I'm like, hey, you know, I knew that. I did not know that. Additionally, the first couple letters I typed for this attorney, the attorney came to me and said, Shirley, I've never seen a letter that has so many mistakes. He said, do you even know how to set the pedal? What was happening is when I lifted my foot up from the pedal, it was going three words ahead instead of going back. And so can you imagine, dear Miss So-and-so, how is your mother? Thank you, the end. It's so embarrassing. I was like, oh my God. He said, stick with me for 30 days. And it would get to the point where you would no longer have to print out the draft on yellow paper, because that's what we use. It could go on the fine paper back in the day, 30 days in a day. I still have that. Additionally, the attorney Fishback pulled me from that young attorney and asked me to be his legal secretary. And I was not the best legal secretary. Oh, my God. I remember Snoop and all these niggas walking in. I'm like, do you guys even read these contracts? No good, sons of guns. I was a mess. Anyway, Mr. Fishback was not very good at putting wordings together, but he could put contracts together. The day I quit, I said, Mr. Fishback, I think I'm going to go to law school. And he says, why? I said, because I want to negotiate across the table from you because I know your secrets. He said, I've done well. If you guys understood that. Then the next person I worked with is Robert Brown. Robert Brown's mostly, he's a black attorney. He, the finest attorney I've ever seen in my life. Oh, my God. Good thing I had morals and values back then. I still do, I think. Anyway, He did real estate. He's just amazing. A lot of stuff that goes on in Los Angeles is as a result of Mr. Brown and his partners. He's actually the president of WLA, University of West Los Angeles Law School. Prior to that, though, he was an attorney. I went to law school. I went to UWLA. Proud. And Mr. Brown, who told me, Shirley, you cannot work with me anymore because I had a big mouth and, you know, I was just doing too much. But he also said I was too intelligent. You know, he was actually pushing me out of the way. 4 years later was the same man that handed me my law degree in 2020. Okay. The next person that I honor, it's just so stupid how much I honor this man. I don't even think he knows. Every time I think about him, his name is Ken Meyer. He was an attorney I worked for in Culver City, California proper. And when I love to say proper. This was a man that took the legal profession and the spiritual world of calmness. I mean, the man had a pond, and he brought it together. I've never seen that before. And he said, you can practice law and still keep zen. And he was a Jewish man. Gave to me unconditionally, taught me how from the left to the right, things come in, things go out, things come in. And you know, by the way, Mr. Ken, I'm going to have to call you because I got a lot of things stuck on my desk because I ain't moving like I need to. But even with that, I worked for another attorney who was Persian. That attorney told me, I would never, ever tell you your worth if you don't know what it is. I would always go in and ask for a raise or say, you're not paying me. He goes, well, what are you worth? It took me 6 years to determine what I was worth. Was that a good experience or bad? I don't know. You guys have to decide on that. But I did come out of what? Realizing what I was worth. Do I get mad because it was 6 years? Well, that was my problem, not his. But then I fell into starting working for others because life changes, people change. And they wore me out. And they took the advantage. If I didn't have the memories of Thomas Cohen, Mr. Fishback, Robert Brown, or Ken Meyer, there's some other women in there too, by the way. Women taught me differently. I'll talk about that another day. I would lose my soul every day. I'm going to come back to where I am now. I never was good in corporate America. I think I worked for Farmers Insurance in-house counsel for about 32 hours. I stepped away from it. But now what is happening with AI and the movement of the legal profession and this whole world is that the law firms are going to start running like corporations. And I'm glad I'm in the forefront of watching how this works. But I'm also seeing how power can destroy an individual, and people aren't even cognizant or do anything they care. Every moment I walk into this office, I'm telling people their greatness, and yet I was told I said something wrong, and it got back to XYZ, and now, you know, it's just like, what? Someone could, you know, said I said something about a previous employer, and, you know, and I'm like, oh, y'all trying to fuck with me? Yeah, what? What? And I'm angry. My 1 minute left. You can never with the goodness of the people in my past. You may not like me today because you don't think whatever, but Mr. Cohen, Mr. Fishback, Mr. Brown, Mr. Ken Meyer, even Mr. Amalie, even this other person I just worked for, they saw my greatness when you're trying to destroy it. I'm lucky. How many of us have that history of people that knew our worth and was there for us? We don't have that. So let's go back to the little kid who wants to shoot up everything or get high or whatever, or to take the Adderall or the cocaine to get through the next day. With these environments that are run by AI and other powerful situations are stealing souls directly and indirectly. And I had a life of greatness, and it almost stole mine. Let's continue this topic next week. Hopefully I'll be able to breathe. And we'll talk about it more. Because it pains me to see what businesses are doing. Mary, there's 36, 15 seconds. Go ahead and plug your show, and we'll be off for the day.
Okay, so you can all join me right here on Blog Talk Radio on the J. King Network at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time every Sunday for Mary Had a Little Cancer. Thank you, Cheryl.
Well, no problem. I'll be listening. And again, think about what I said. That was heavy duty. And until then, make good memories, make great memories, do all kinds of good things. All right, everybody, I'm out.